Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5
with Molly and Hall,
where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
Who is the best clutch hitter on the Cubs? Is David Bodie a guy you'd want at bat with the game on the line?
I like David Bodie in the clutch situation. Certainly came through yesterday. To me, the guy that came through yesterday was Baez. And that, I think right now, of anybody on that team, I believe that would be the guy that I would want to be at bat with the game on the line. Now, what's interesting is Chris Bryant is slumping. Anthony Rizzo is slumping, but maybe by the end of the year, Rizzo might be a guy that you talk about because he gets real hot late in the year and he's consistently hot at different points. But Baez is probably, I think Chris Bryant's still their best player. He's got a hit. Baez is right there. And the thing about Baez is when he gets on, he wreaks havoc on the bases. I mean, my God, who was Joe comparing to him? Yet he was comparing to him to yesterday. Name a Hall of Famer, and Joe was mentioning him. I think that Descalso is a very clutch player, what I've seen, early snapshot type thing. And, of course, Ben Zobrist would be a guy. But David Bodie has really come through a number of times, but I do feel like Zobrist would come through too. I think he does that for a living. And I think that right now Baez would be my pick.
All depends where you are in the season, and you brought it up. Listen, Rizzo's having an awful start to the year, but he had an awful start last year, too.
Yep.
Guy's hitting .197. Chris Bryant, really, hitting .230. Baez has been terrific, but let me get back to Bodie, because Bodie's a guy, you look at him at the plate, the guy hasn't even played a full season of Major League Baseball. All right, 7 years, I believe, in the minor leagues. He's already got fourth game-winning RBI, if I'm not mistaken, in yesterday's ball game. And immediately I started thinking to myself, well, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer knew what the heck they had in Bodie because they gave him a 5-year, $15 million deal. So they knew the guy was clutch. And they knew that the guy is a great presence in the locker room, soft-spoken, speaks when asked, appreciates, respects guys like Rizzo and Bryant, the way they lead that clubhouse, John Lester. But at this point in the season, if the game is on the line, who do I want at the plate wearing a Cubs uniform? I'm with you, Molly. His name is Baez.
Guys, I'm going to agree with you, but I loved the fact that I saw while prepping for this morning's updates that the David Bodie walk-off grand slam was just about 9 months ago, and he had to fly home for...
Yeah, I think 36 weeks to be exact.
Uh-huh. As a father of three, I can tell you that the old 40-week birth cycle is right there for you. So do the math, and we come up with right about now that, child number three is on the way. I mean,
you're saying that's a grand slam, baby? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Atta boy, Mikey.
There you go.
That is outstanding.
Well, and David Bodie, you know what? God love him. I mean, he came out of nowhere last year. The walk-off granny was one of the best, you know, non-championship moments of recent Cubs vintage. And certainly he's not a guy that you're uncomfortable with up there in a big spot. I would choose Baez, and I would certainly, I mean, you can go through the usual suspects, so to speak, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. I mean, I would still rather have one of my star players up than David Bodie. Nothing against David Bodie. He's certainly done the job. But, I mean, a great moment yesterday because sitting there, as I was, I'm sure a lot of our listeners were, around the family Easter celebration and Cub game on in the background. I was sitting there with my nephew watching Jerod Dyson go deep, and it's like, oh boy, you know, here we go. But not 15 minutes later, there's David Bote for you.
On a 2019 Cubs team that has started out with a ice-cold Chris Bryant, a cold Anthony Rizzo, it's absolutely Javi Baez. He is the best. He's the best clutch hitter the Cubs have right now. You guys laid it out already. And he's a game changer when he gets on the bases. You saw what he can do. We see it all the time, and you just saw another awesome example of what this guy does. This guy does not fear the moment. He's just totally fearless, and he's gonna do whatever it takes to make something out of nothing, to extend that play, to get you that extra base. He is the Cubs' best clutch player, no doubt about it. But I don't have a problem with having David Bote up at the plate in these situations. He has proven himself to be a guy that can get you the game win. This is the fourth one, as you guys pointed out.
Wouldn't pitch it for him?
I would not.
Righty comes in, and you're not going to pitch in for the guy.
I want my guy David Bote at the plate now. He's proven himself to be a clutch hitter. I want him up there.
Yeah, that was a great moment yesterday. I felt the same way when Strope blew. I'm like, really? After all, you thought you going into the game that the lineup. I was playing lineup Ista, right? I mean, when I saw what was going on and Tyler Chatwood pitching, I thought, what? Come on, Joe. Joe, were you not listening? Do you know you're supposed to take this series? Do you know that it's important? Do you know that we said when we got back to work on Monday that the Cubs would be 500? Do you know that we all said that on Friday? And here they are. And Bote was great. But you guys are right. I mean, the most clutch player on the Cubs by a mile is Baez. But I don't know if he's the most clutch hitter, right? I mean, let's put it this way. If I wanted a guy to make contact with the ball, so even to move a base runner along, or to warning track, to sacrifice. I think it's Zobrist right now. I think that's the guy. If you want a guy to put the bat on the ball, and Zobrist does not strike out. That's something right. He does not do. He's got a great eye for the ball, makes a lot of contact. So I think right now, unfortunately, that's the guy I'd want up to bat in a clutch moment where you have to have the bat hit the ball.
You know, as smart as you guys are, that might be the best question you've ever asked. I'm serious. I had never really contemplated this question.
If Yu Darvish can't give you six innings, which he hasn't yet this season, at some point this year, do you give Tyler Chatwood one of Darvish's starts in the rotation?
Can I tell you guys, I am embarrassed. You know, Molly, you were away and I sat in alongside our good friend David Haw, who I miss dearly right now. And one of the questions asked was which pitcher in Chicago will lead both teams in wins? And I said Yu Darvish. I believe I attached 18 wins to Darvish. Well, wow. This guy's making me look awfully bad. Like, I don't know a damn thing. And I'm disgusted. I mean, you paid $126 million for this guy. We are through the month of April. And he has yet to last six innings in a game. Not once. And this is after what happened last year. What the hell's up with this guy? And in Chatwood's case, I'll give the guy credit. Listen, I'm not sold on one start. But, he threw strikes. But, after that start yesterday where he threw one to the back, to the brick wall over there at Wrigley Field. I think that was the first pitch he threw yesterday and walked the first batter on four straight pitches. And we all thought, well, here we go again. Maybe he'll last an inning. At least in Chatwood's case, he threw six innings of ball. He was my player of the game, despite Baez coming through big time with the triple and then scoring the winning run and Bote with the game-winning RBI yesterday. Chatwood was my guy yesterday because this guy, if you had a chance to meet and chat with Chatwood, Mike. This guy is a tough SOB. I talked to him last year when he first came to the Cubs, and then this season at spring training, and you could tell where, number one, he's embarrassed about what happened last season. Number two, he will make it his mission in this town to turn things around, throw strikes, and show why this organization, why Theo Epstein gave him $38 million. Right now, I'm giving Yu Darvish two more starts, and if he can't go six innings, give Chatwood an opportunity to take that spot in the rotation.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I know this is not going to be a popular thought, but my thought watching Chatwood yesterday, and boy, when he walked the first batter with four pitches, I literally threw my hands up like, you got to be kidding me. is this the way this is going to go? And then immediately gets the double play. He only had two walks in the game, and both lead to double plays. So that's huge for a guy that has control issues. But my thought watching that game, and when Joe took him out, everyone's kind of, why did he take him out so early? And I'm like, no, now you can trade him. Now you can trade him. Now someone might take that contract. My thought wasn't, now we can replace Yu Darvish. Because you know what? Yu Darvish can't be traded. That contract makes it absolutely impossible to trade him. So you got to find something to love about Darvish. You got to find a way to make Darvish work. And taking and giving him a start, giving one of his starts to Tyler Chatwood is not a way to make it work. As painful as it may be and as tiresome as it may be to sit here and talk about the drama of a Yu Darvish start, the fact of the matter is the guy's gone five innings, three games in a row for the first time as a Cub. You got to find something to love about the guy. You got to find something to get on board with. I thought it very incrementally, small steps, the previous two starts. That one wasn't good. Didn't help that his team was shut out, right? But the fact of the matter is, Darvish is locked in, and he's paid for it, and that is the end of that. I thought it was great for Chatwood to do that. Maybe they can move him. Maybe they can move him and get some bullpen help. I hate to say it that way, but that's just the way I look at him.
Molly, I'm agreeing completely with you on the contract thing, and I think that's why Darvish is going nowhere. And Joe put him in as the number two starter to start the season, regardless of what happened last season. Lester's obviously been hurt, although hopefully he's back this week. But Darvish is in this rotation. I mean, there he is. He's got another 4 years after this one on a very expensive contract. You need to get Yu Darvish right. I know I was in the car on Saturday and I flipped on the Cubs game, you know, like, all right, driving around, nice day. Let's listen to some Cubs baseball. And before I think I passed one stoplight, he had given up two home runs. It's like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Now, the encouraging part.
Did you just drive into the car in front of you?
I was about ready to drive somewhere. I just, you know, the bar wasn't open yet, so I didn't have to. No, but I mean, Chatwood, listen, we saw him pitch well in Colorado. Theo and Jed obviously targeted him after two off seasons ago as a free agent to come in and be that, you know, fourth starter, third starter, whatever you want to call it. And then last year was a complete disaster for both Chatwood and Darvish. But Chatwood specifically now, that's what they saw in him. They saw a guy that could pitch like he did yesterday. Now, very small sample size. I'll definitely take it. And I don't know that people are going to be trading for him off of one start, but you know the Cubs will need more than five starters throughout the season. So it's great to see that from Chatwood.
Absolutely. It is great to see. I mean, the Cubs need some help for that rotation. Absolutely. So if Tyler Chatwood can build on that game yesterday, that would be awesome. But I'm on board with the idea that you can't, unless Darvish has a complete meltdown in a start and loses all of his command and just looks like a horrible mess out there. You do not pull him from this rotation. You got to get something from this guy. And sure, he's taking baby steps. Okay, he has yet to go past six innings, right? But you cannot pull him unless there's a total meltdown. Absolutely not. So let's hope Tyler Chatwood continues to and builds off of this game yesterday. But he's got to give you he's got to be your fifth starter or a sixth starter even at some point down the line, and a solid arm out of the bullpen. You got to keep Darvish and where he's at in the rotation, number two.
I can't believe I'm going to actually stick up for Yu Darvish a little bit.
It's unnatural. We get it.
He might be the toughest guy Joe Maddon's probably ever had to manage. I mean, honestly, Darvish probably could have gone to this magical six inning that we're making up, right? But it's like there's some kind of weird message from upstairs, and they're worried about his mental state. They want him to end. They want to take him out when things are going his way.
He was so good at the end. He struck out the last two guys he faced.
Right. Exactly. I mean, but you know, for all the I've been killing the guy to pound the strike zone. Then he pounds the strike zone. But those were solo home run. I mean, I don't blame Saturday's game on Yu Darvish. They lost the game because he couldn't score a run.
Right.
And Greinke was fantastic. They lost that game. He did kind of sort of keep him in that game despite the fact he had a terrible first inning. But
with the Cubs' age of this starting rotation, now Tyler Chatwood almost looks like a really good piece to have. Now, Molly, I'm with you. If you could trade him to get something, but how do you trade him? He needs more work, right?
Yeah.
He needs more starts.
I mean, the sample size is so small right now. Where are you going to put him? We don't even know when he's going to pitch next.
Right. So I just like the fact. I mean, also Mike Montgomery is making a reap, but, you know, the starting pitchers are older, so if they have some injuries, when's Lester coming back? Is Morrow coming back? And not that he's going to close.
That's another thing, right?
So I can't believe I want to keep Tyler Chatwood, and I'm actually thinking that Yu Darvish could have gotten to the sixth or even seventh inning had it not been for either Joe or Jed and Theo.
Wow, very tough question. Very, very hard.
Did Tim Anderson deserve an ejection and a one-game suspension for calling a white player the N-word? Is MLB correct not to talk about this issue, or should they explain their thinking?
I would like to know what their thinking is. I would like to have them answer questions about this issue. I understand that the N-word is a terrible word, and we don't want people saying that word. And if who was the pitcher? Was it Brad Keller? If he said the N-word to Tim Anderson, there'd be a riot, okay? And Tim Anderson, but I think what we've seen happen in our culture is that African Americans have co-opted that word and made it a word. They've turned the word around a little bit where no one can say it, but African Americans can say it to each other. They can say it in rap lyrics, wherever they want to. And the idea that Major League Baseball is banning the word, even if used by an African-American player. Look, you know, there is an issue in Major League Baseball with African-American players. If you actually, if you Google it, you'll find that they list team by team the number of African-American players. I think that 4 is the most on any team
60.
In Major League Baseball.
60 in all of baseball.
That is shocking.
One on the south side, Tim Anderson.
Yeah, what, is one on the north side? Is it because Carl Edwards Jr. is down? Is it just Jason Hayward? It's just shocking to see those numbers as someone that grew up following baseball. And when you realize that there aren't as many fans and there aren't as many players and the game isn't as popular, Major League Baseball is a major issue. And they need to talk about it. They need to talk about, you know, the race issues in this country we have to talk about. Because, you know, barring talk of race, barring the use of language, barring symbolism, that's all fine and well, but why? Why is it that way? Why are these things happening? What we need to just get to the bottom of it and have like a normal conversation about things without trying to hide it.
Major League Baseball, tell me what the heck happened. I want to know exactly what Joe West heard out there on the field, because I feel differently about now the Tim Anderson one-game suspension. Before I heard that Tim Anderson used the N-word towards Brad Keller, I sat as a White Sox fan scratching my head, yep, asking, why did Anderson get tossed? The guy got hit with the baseball. Now, if MLB is saying that he got tossed and he was given a one-game suspension because he directed the N-word towards Brad Keller, he deserved it. And you know what? I'm a white man, and I find the N-word offensive. I don't care if it's slang in the black community. It's offensive for my ears. All right? I grew up on the south side of Chicago. My father owned a business at 69th and Western. If I used, or my two brothers used, the N-word in my house, my dad had forearms the size of your thighs, Mully. You know what would have happened? You know what would have happened. It's offensive to me. I don't care if it's slang. If you direct that word to me, I have a problem with it. And I want you to be suspended for a game. Period.
I definitely want to hear what MLB had to say about that as to the why. I saw the Joe West commentary after the fact, like, oh, there's Joe West inserting himself into a situation again. But definitely an explanation from the league as to the why. What was the reason why Tim Anderson was given that suspension? And I would certainly love to hear their logic. As to the usage of the N-word, I do not pretend, as the same thing, as a white guy, I don't pretend to understand all of the cultural implications of that. I just know by listening to other black athletes, specifically black MLB players that were defending Tim Anderson, that tends to be where I lean. I would lean towards listening to the other black baseball players and taking their opinions into consideration before I rendered a judgment if I'm MLB on this.
Yeah, we definitely need an explanation from MLB. They have to come out and say something. Let us know what was said. Let us know what the deal is. Because here's the thing. This is all about context. This is all about context. This is a black man, a black player that said this, and to a white player. And Mully, as you alluded to, if it had been the other way around, a white player saying this to a black player, this is a whole different story. And I understand what the way Lou feels about the word, but this is a word that's used in the black community, and it's been co-opted and changed, as Mully alluded to. And this was a moment of rage for Tim Anderson. He was hot, and it's maybe something that just came out. So this is all context. It's all about context. How did he mean it? How did he say it? I'd love to hear Tim Anderson's explanation on this. I'd love to hear what MLB has to say. I think they owe fans an explanation. Absolutely. They need to come out and explain what the ruling was here.
So does he deserve it? Absolutely. And if we believe that's what was said, and if that's what MLB believes was said, and that's what Joe West... Why would Joe West... Listen, nobody likes Joe West, except Joe West. But why would Joe West make this up, right? I mean, and I don't think anybody's accusing him. I don't know what MLB is supposed to do. I mean,
Well, did you see what Marcus Stroman, you know, tweeted? He came out, and he and Tim Anderson have had many problems before and have battled before, and he came out in full support of him and said that effectively that is it's the way that people speak. It's a cultural exception, if you will. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was powerful that
so
he came
MLB
out.
Needs to come out and say that they find the word offensive, and if you use that language on the field, we're going to have the right to throw you out.
Well, they need to just explain why. Dustin, this came out in an ESPN story that this was the reason. Right. MLB never said what the reason was. They still haven't said why the guy was suspended.
I just don't know that they have to come out and tell. If you got to be careful. You can't make this stuff up. So, listen, Tim, there was a lot wrong. We don't have to get into bat flip again. But the bat flip and then that. I mean, Tim, tap the brakes a little bit. Concentrate on baseball.
Well,
and if the only way you can be this
normal
hot
slang
at baseball
trash
is by
talk,
doing this stuff,
that's what Marcus Stroman said. Normal slang trash talk. Just how people talk.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
If you could improve any position on the Bears outside of kicker, which would it be, and why? Can the Bears improve that spot in the draft?
Well, before they got rid of Jordan Howard, I would have said,
"Wow,
give me another cornerback. Give me another defensive back. Give me some depth back there in my secondary." But now that you dumped Jordan Howard on the Eagles, which I still will argue to the end of the season, that was a bad move, and we talked about that the last time I was here, I want a running back. I haven't seen Mike Davis. I don't know what we're getting here. I trust that Ryan Pace and his scouts and Matt Nagy feel 100% that Davis is going to fill the void, and while he doesn't run like Jordan Howard, we'll put up the numbers and get into the end zone and give me the football and run it down the football field in the middle of December like Jordan Howard did the last couple of seasons in this town, last 3 years. But because you ended up dumping Jordan and now we're depending on Davis and maybe Tariq Cohen getting more carries and I hope not Tyquan Mizell, but who knows? Maybe there's something there that I'm not seeing. Give me a running back. I don't think the kid out of Penn State will still be there, Miles Sanders. Maybe Daryl Henderson from Memphis. I'd love for Oklahoma State's Justice Hill to be there, but I want a running back. I need a running back. I need depth at that position because you know what? I saw the Eagles last year struggle because they lost their running backs to injury down the stretch, and that's why Jordan Howard's now wearing a Philadelphia uniform.
Well, first of all, why can't I get a kicker? I think they need a kicker, but we'll set that aside. I guess it's the most obvious need, right? Be nice to get a kicker. I don't know that you draft one, but it'd be nice to get one, even in the undrafted market. Just get another competitor at camp, because you got basically three guys applying for a position, but there's no one that you would say – there's not one of those guys where you would say, that's a guy you hire, as opposed to that's a guy you sign, right? There were certain guys, well, we'll try him out. And then there were certain guys, boy, we want him. So get a guy that you want at that position. But I'm with you, Lou. I don't understand the running back thing. They've created a draft need that they didn't have to create. They could have kept Jordan Howard. Were they worried that he was going to be a problem child if they didn't play him? You know, they were offered second-round picks for him at the third-round pick, was it, at the trade deadline last year. You could have hung on to him. Maybe you get a fifth-rounder, whatever, but you don't get a conditional six. I mean, that's just bizarre to me. The Jordan Howard thing made no sense to me at all, because you created an issue before the draft. Now maybe if they have some plan to get David Montgomery, the kid from Iowa State that supposedly they love, he'll be off the board in the second round. Maybe they have a plan. I don't know. Doesn't look like they have a lot of draft capital in order to move up or do anything like that. But stranger things have happened. I would like them to get a running back. Obviously, to me, the sneaky position that they need help is at pass rusher. You know, they have Leonard Floyd. Obviously, they've got Khalil Mack, and he's the guy. But Leonard Floyd took a step forward a little bit next year.
You're picking up the fifth year on that contract?
Yeah, I am right now.
Okay.
I mean, who's rushing the passer opposite this guy? You better have someone. That's why you always need pass rushers. And I would add another one to the mix, and I might even do it in the third round and pick up a running back later on. The other position that I think is a sneaky position, and I agree with you about corner. I think you always need guys in the secondary. I would definitely do something like that. But where are we with the tight end position? That was a huge letdown at that position in the playoff game, okay? Trey Burton doesn't want to run the Philly special and in Chicago because it's memory. What does that tell you? Am I right to be worried about him checking out for the playoff game when the whole game plan was obviously kind of geared around him?
Where's Adam Shaheen, by the way?
Well, and that's the other thing. Adam Shaheen, there's only one conclusion when you've watched his career, and that is they're going to need another guy at that position. So if they could get a tight end, I think that's another draft priority. I think that I don't trust their tight ends.
I thought Shaheen, and again, preseason, but I thought Shaheen was poised to do something, and then he broke his foot in, I forget what preseason game it was, but that certainly set him back. I agree with you guys on the Burton thing, but I'm going to say running back, which is the obvious answer. I think in their minds, if I'm trying to put myself in Ryan Pace's head here, they signed Mike Davis. He is the Jordan Howard upgrade in their mind, which is why they get rid of Howard, and they're going to draft somebody anyway, somebody that Matt Nagy is comfortable with in that offense. Does it make sense to everybody? Absolutely not. Does it make sense to me? Not particularly. I would still have kept Jordan Howard as well, but that is what they did, and that's my thinking as to why they did it. And I'm with you, Molly. I don't draft a kicker. I don't want to waste one of these handful of draft picks that they have. We've seen Ryan Pace have success drafting later on in late rounds, and he's done it since he's been the general manager of the Bears. I don't want to waste a draft pick on a kicker, and not to say that a kicker is a waste. Obviously, it's very important, as we saw in the playoff game and throughout the season with Cody Parkey, but you could find a kicker. They've already signed three. Battle Royale, that's how they got Robbie Gould. I'm for that method of finding a kicker. I'm going to say corner. Lou, I agree with you. If one of those guys go down, you have to have somebody else. You got to have some depth back there. And then running back, I think, will be one of their picks as well.
It's absolutely running back. I agree with that sentiment totally. After the trade of Jordan Howard, that changed it all. That's the main focus. They seem to be very high on Mike Davis, but how are we supposed to feel about that when we don't really know what this guy can truly do? So it's absolutely running back. Our guy Joe Ostrowski, I believe it was Friday, retweeted this list. It's the number by position of teams. Let's see, NFL teams listed by number of rookie visits by position. So the Chicago Bears have already visited with 16 running backs. So it seems to be the area of focus for them. Absolutely.
That's worrisome. I mean, you just wonder.
Does that mean that means they don't have 100% confidence in Mike Davis?
There's a cloud of players, and then there's whatever that is. superstorm.
I'd feel more comfortable if you told me that they met with 16 kickers.
Exactly. Well, the way they're signing them, they might sign 16 kickers before.
Bring them all in. I don't care.
That's fine.
It's running back. To me, it's running back. And my guy is Benny Snell Jr. That's my guy that I hope they get. Third round might be too soon to take a running back in this league. I get it. I mean, look at Denver, right? Denver last year, undrafted kid from Colorado, makes the Pro Bowl. You got to find that guy. But, you know, Mo, you brought up tight end. And it's interesting. But, you know, Ryan Pace has too much capital, both draft capital and free agent capital, to go there in the third round. I'm not saying that you shouldn't draft one, but if we're specifically talking about what they should do with their first pick that they have as of this moment, I don't know how you could go to tight end based on the amount of capital that he's invested in that position. I know it's important, but you got to figure it out. He's got to get these guys got to work, or that's egg on his face for the executive of the year.
You know, as much as a kicker cost him that playoff game and everything, and I understand it, If they had Trey Burton in that game, might they have won it? I mean, how many times did they try that, you know, that little shovel pass and the little tight end thing?
Well, remember one of their free agents that they picked up. He might be that guy. That might be their tight end, wide receiver, kick returner. The
Cordero, right? Patterson.
Yes, be that guy in that.
Well, he's such a fun weapon.
Super, yeah, he can super do so much.
I can't wait to see.
And by the way,
Andy,
he's got blazing speed.
Unbelievable!
Out there.
He can catch a deep ball. He can do anything.
I know he's technically not a tight end, but I see him.
What is he? Exactly. I mean, does so much.
Yeah, he's a huge target, deep threat. Jack of all trades.
He's a WRKR.
Yeah.
I mean, you can keep
RB
going down the line.
You know, yeah, he's
PR.
An RB. He's a weapon.
Yeah.
He's
ultra back. He's a weapon.
Go get a running back.
Yeah, you know, I definitely get that question.
If you were a gambling man, would you bet on Ryan Pace making a trade to change the Bears' position in the draft?
Oh, my God. I mean, Ryan Pace loves to move up in drafts, right? Ryan Pace loves to move up even when he doesn't have to. We've seen him move up for players. You know, look, you got to hold your water at some point, right? You got to understand that you don't have a first or a second rounder. You don't have a lot of draft capital. Maybe he should move down. Maybe they should try to pick up another late pick. I don't know. If I were him, I'd stay exactly where he's at. And I would, we're saying, instead of cloud of players, I'd have a cloud of positions. And then whatever the best player was, I'd figure out a way to fit him into your team. You can still get help in the third round of an NFL draft, even later in a third round. But I get it. You fall in love with different players and you get worried that they won't be there. But it's time to hold your water. Just use your picks. Don't give up anything moving forward because you don't have anything. You can't give up next year's second-round pick in this draft. You just don't do it.
Ray, Dustin, and Mike, is Mully the wealthiest man in this room?
It's probably you, Lou.
No, it isn't.
It's not me.
Mully, are you the house? Yes. My question is Mully the house? Because, Mully, if you're the house, here's a hondo.
Look at you.
I am betting a hondo. I am betting a
$100 bill at me.
That he will make a deal. He will make a deal. Now,
it
may
up?
Be. I think he's moving up.
Yeah.
I think he's moving up.
What's he got to give up to make a deal?
He's got two second rounders next year.
Oh, come on.
All right. And
he doesn't have a first rounder next year.
He doesn't. I get it. But he's got two second rounders.
And this is their window.
This is their window. Yeah. He's loading up. This is the year. They're going to South Florida to play in the big game.
So if he likes Dave Montgomery, he's moving into the
second telling
round.
You, that's what the man has shown me since he's taken on this job as GM of this organization. All right? Listen, he fell in love with Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
And didn't even know was what? I mean, he lost a trade.
Well,
as of today, he lost that trade with the Niners.
I wish he'd fallen in love with Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Well, everyone, I mean.
No offense to anyone.
Yeah.
But maybe
Monday morning quarterbacking is easy.
Yeah.
So my point, guys, is when he falls in love with a player, and I think he's fallen in love with a running back out there, and I believe it might be Sanders or it might be Hill out of Oklahoma State, but here's what's going to happen. He's not going to make the deal until we get into the draft. Get through the first round. I don't think any of these running backs will be taken in the first round. Now we're going to get to the second round. He's going to keep an eye on his guy. And if he feels like there's a run on running backs, he's going to pull the trigger and make a trade. and give up one of the second rounders come next season. He's going to give up one of those second rounders to grab his guy. That's how confident I think that Ryan Pace is going to draft a running back immediately. Now, is it the right move? I'm one of those, hey, take the best player available. Don't get set on a position because you just can't, you can't forecast the way the draft is going to go. But if he's got a running back on his board that he is truly in love with, and I do believe he is truly in love with one running back out there, if he thinks he's going to be taken, he's going to pull the deal. And if I'm a betting man, as the that's what the question was, if you're a betting, a gambling man, yep, was the true term, I'm putting money on Pace making a deal. He's done it. He's done it in almost every one of his four drafts so far.
Not only are you gambling, Lou, you've got a very specific plan, too, and you've got the money out already. I'm with you. I think if he's shown us one thing, it's that he's going to go for it with guys he firmly believes in. He did it with Trubisky. He traded for Anthony Miller last year when he was sitting there on the board and knowing the receiver position as an area of need. Pace is, that's just the way he does things. Now, I tended to think, too, in the Mully school of, well, what are you going to trade? You're already down. But in their window, they're going to use what they have to win now rather than worry about next year. They'll worry about next year. And by the way, Khalil Mack is your first round pick this year. So that's good.
History has shown that Ryan Pace is a bold move maker. He's proven that to us in drafts, but I just don't see it happening this year. Had the Khalil Mack trade not have happened, and I'm extremely elated that it happened, had that not happened and they had their first round picks for this year, I would definitely say yes. But I just don't think that it's going to happen. I don't think they have the draft capital. However, I would not be totally surprised. I do not think it's totally out of the realm of possibility that Lou's scenario could happen. I think you never know with Ryan Pace. You never know, but my answer is going to be a no. He will not make a move.
Yes, he will make a move. Lou, I like your scenario, but I think it's for a very specific player.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, if that very specific player is no longer around, I wouldn't be surprised, because they're not desperate for anything other than a kicker, right? They're not desperate for anything other than a kicker right now, that he would move backwards to get more picks maybe next year, right? Maybe somebody really wants somebody where they're picking, okay? He's going to need more bodies eventually. So maybe he gets more stuff next year. So I would, as much as I wouldn't be surprised if he moved up, I also wouldn't be surprised if he moved back to get stuff for the future. So I do believe Ryan Pace will make a big move. Friday when they're picking?
Friday. Yeah, they're sitting out Thursday.
They sit out Thursday. Yep.
All right, that is the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw, and he's Lou Cannella, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.